This is Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the most listened to podcast for parents by parents.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine, the first national magazine for parents of Black children. I'm Janice Robinson-Celeste, your host and publisher of Successful Parenting Media. I want you to tell all of your friends and followers about the show. After all, sharing is caring. Know that our hashtag for the show is hashtag BackTalk. Now, today we have a very special guest. His name is Drew Martin with Social Change Hackathon, and we are discussing how to create social change and dismantle barriers to equity and justice, especially for our children. Welcome, Drew.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me and our organization, We in the World, this morning. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for coming on. I'm so happy to talk to you because one of the things I'm going to address before we get into the questions so that our audience understands is we're talking about equity here, right? You always heard about equality, equality, equality. Can you just explain why equity is so much more important than equality?
Sure. I think equality levels the playing field. It gives the opportunity to everyone, but at the same time, we aren't all starting from the same place, right? I think gaps, especially social gaps around those vital conditions or those social determinants of health, especially when it comes to wealth, is just the idea that the opportunity is there, but where we are, where we start, especially as African Americans, we may need a little extra more to truly create an opportunity for us to see our fullest potential in whatever we're doing, right? A great example of that was, you know, a personal example was, you know, the university that I went to was the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I entered the university because of affirmative action. But unfortunately, because of the social constraints that I grew up in Chicago, I was not as prepared as some other folks for the college experience. The environment, the classes, the structure was not something I was accustomed to. So equality got me to the University of Illinois, but equity would allow me to have a summer or a couple of months before to get acclimated, to get prepared, to truly take advantage of that opportunity. And the same could be said in the workplace as well. But as we move to equity, that's not enough. Now we need to get to justice, which means that we eliminated any barriers that we see when we're kind of forming these gaps in our social constraints.
Right. I'm going off script a little bit because sure. It's just timely because here we have DEI programs being dismantled in states like Florida and now Alabama. And you mentioned going to college, you could have used an extra boost. And they have DEI, which is, you know, diversity, equality, and inclusion programs in colleges for that reason. But anything government funded, they are closing DEI programs at state universities and things like that. So they're not giving minorities that extra boost they need once they get there to help them through. And you're asking why, if you look at the history of our culture, basically, you know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, we weren't allowed to read. My grandmother still did not know how to read. She could only sign her name with an X. My mother was the first person in my family to go to college. She didn't finish. I was the first person in my entire family in all of these hundreds of years to finish college. I was the only one. So that's why this happens, because not many families can say that. So can you just address that with what you said about your college experience and why that is so important?
Sure. I think, you know, same for me. Like, I was one of the first ones in my family to go to college, and to go to a major university was huge. And I just think that a lot of things that were going on, just the stresses of just being a Black African-American, growing up in poverty, you're crossed over into this world that's just not at all familiar, and there's no resources. I want to say there's resources, but that they're not what was needed, right? And I think a lot of times we in this, you know, in We in the World, we have this framework called pathways to population health equity. And it show, and it has like these five steps to say, like, how do you first get into community? How do you ascertain information from people who aren't thriving? So when you're building a solution, you're building it through that human-centered lens. Instead of that top-down approach to say, hey, we read the data, this is what they need. And I think that's why DEI in a lot of places didn't really fulfill what was needed, because there was not an opportunity to actually go and listen and learn and go beyond the data and actually hear the stories to say, okay, you know, in this workplace, in this school, we see the data, but what do African Americans, what do Native Americans, what do, you know, Hispanic Americans truly need, and what would truly like kind of close those educational gaps when they're entering? That didn't happen. I think we just put a title to something. We read the data and we put millions and millions of dollars upon it. So when the actual, you know, results wasn't what they were, we moved away from it. And I could say that happened to my alma mater, where I went to get my master's, which is Dartmouth. You know, Dartmouth, you know, post George Floyd decided that they were going to eliminate test scores. They were like, the SAT, the ACT is racist in nature. You know, some of the questions aren't culturally appropriate. So we're going to eliminate that. Well, what happened? Their rankings, right? They went from the 9th rank to the 18th rank. What happened when those rankings came out and they were now, you know, the 18th ranked school in the nation? Oh, we need those test scores, right? So equality happened. Like, we loved it. Like, you know, they had the, you know, African Americans were coming in droves, you know, other minority groups was coming in. But the table wasn't set in a way to actually have them succeed. And, you know, when they weren't succeeding, that began to hurt the bottom line in a lot of ways. So they went away from it. So I think that's why we're seeing this shift. And then, you know, my former employee, United Healthcare, same situation, to where, you know, we had the strong DEI, but the actual structure itself wasn't accommodating to what we really needed to get equity in that particular workplace. So instead of like doing something different or, you know, kind of reinventing yourself, they just said, it's not working. Let's move away from it.
Right. But instead of getting rid of it, it needed some work.
And it needed some work. It needed some work.
And those stories would have been really important to tell so that they can just put a fine point on it so people will understand, you know, what people are going through and why it's so helpful. But we don't have that. But instead, we have in Florida, it's a total racial, it seems like, of anything minority that is Black for sure. But in Alabama following, I have a feeling other states are going to follow suit. And so instead of fixing it's a problem, they decided not to invest in it at all, which I think is going to hurt people more than it will help them at this point. But let's get back into the script. No, so let's talk about social change hackathon, the social change hackathon. What is that about? Please tell the audience what it is. And we're going to get into some of these things such as racism, sexism, classism, all that stuff in this particular talk. So before you answer that question, I forgot to tell people that if you go to our Facebook page, you can comment live, and I can put some of your comments up here. I don't care you know what you comment, I get to pick and choose the ones that I want. So we can put them right on the screen. If you have a question, please put it there on our Facebook and it will pop up on my screen. I see I already have two comments, but go ahead, please answer the question. What is social change hackathon? I'm getting ahead of myself. Go ahead.
So hackathons in nature are obviously tech-based opportunities for companies like Salesforce, Microsoft, to kind of put out some prototype products and platforms and just get people on there using it, right? There's no greater gift to tech companies than to have a bunch of people on their platform using it for various reasons. So there are a lot of hackathon competitions around the country. Say for instance, my good friend who's helping me like organize this, he's a Google exec, and they do a lot of hackathons internally and externally. When they come out a new product, they just kind of put it out there and they get a bunch of folks get online and just spend hours or days just doing stuff in the platform for different opportunities and prizes. So we had the idea of saying, like, how would that work if we had a bunch of people, you know, on a platform, but instead of like using it to build prototypes for like tech stuff, use it to build prototypes for social change, right? So for example, can you go and create you know, a world where, you know, you have a map of this nation. You said, hey, there needs to be clean, you know, sustainable parks in different parts of the country. What does that look like? So you go on the platform, you have a map of the United States, you look at different demographics, look at the data, and you start from an AI standpoint, you start just building parks and you put them around the country. So you're imagining what a world would look like if there were certain opportunities and certain, you know, places where people can, you know, people can gather, people can learn, you know, from a recreational standpoint that was safe, but you do it in a virtual space, and you build it in a virtual space, and you use these platforms to connect with other people, to understand demographics and understand topography a lot better, and you reimagine it there. It's like anytime someone's building a building, they first, you know, do the blueprints, right? Or, you know, you're an architect, you write it down, you draw it down first before you actually implement it. So we see the same thing with social change. Let's actually imagine it in a virtual space. Let's use these, you know, myriad of tech platforms we have. Let's get Black folks more into this world, designing a world that's more, you know, equitable and more, you know, filled with justice. And, you know, reimagine it on a virtual platform and then see if we can take that and make that reality. So they do it all the time in a tech space for their products. Let's try it to see if we can do it for things around social change.
I mean, that's pretty interesting. I immediately what came to mind was the Sims game. Is it like that?
Roblox. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things, it's funny you mentioned that, like, you know, my kids love Sims. They really love Roblox. So when my daughter, you know, is playing Roblox, I think it was over Christmas break, I heard her like actually create an equitable city. And I was like, well, if she can do that virtually and then imagine it there, why not then be able to take that and, you know, use that as a blueprint to actually make that real.
Right. Yeah. We have Kate asking a question about that. She said, it sounds like fun. She's interested in learning about technology. Thanks, Kate, for commenting. She said, do I need to be technology savvy to participate?
No, thanks, Kate, for that question. It's a no-code hackathon, meaning you don't have to know how to code. So if you can turn on the computer, you can download a couple apps. we even make it to where you can use your iPad or your phone, right? If you can do that and kind of follow some prompts, you'll be amazed of what you create, what prototypes you can create when it comes to social change. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kate. I appreciate your question. And for those who want to ask a question, you just go to Successful Black Parenting's Facebook page and you can type a question. It is a bit delayed, so it should pop up here. And if I see a good question, I will put it up on the screen. Let me ask you, because it seems like it's almost like make-believe, right? So how you were saying that basically we got to imagine it first to make it happen. What's the possibility of actually seeing these things come to fruition?
I think I think that's what we want, right? We want, one of our first goals is to engage youth. Now this hackathon is open for everybody, don't get me wrong. But when we look at from a We in the World standpoint, when we look at the people we serve, we aren't serving that under 30 as well as we want. And I don't know any social movement in this country that was successful that wasn't spearheaded and really energized by youth, right? We look at the sit-ins during the civil rights movement. Those are college and high school students that you know, stepped out on faith and took that risk. This really turned our country around. So we know that youth are engaged on these platforms. What they aren't doing is, especially Black folks and Brown folks, we aren't building, right? We're usually the end users. When it comes out, then we're playing it, then we're buying it, then we're engaging, but we're not building it. And so once again, that's exactly what happens in real life, right? It's always this top-down approach. There's an assumption of what we need in our community and it is plop it down. And it's all transactional. It never gets us to transformation. So this is just a simulation in life as well. Like, how do we get on the front end of building these prototypes, of building these platforms that's focused in on getting us from, you know, equity we don't have equity yet. I'm jumping ahead to get us from where we are to actual justice. This seems like an opportunity that's untapped, that, you know, if you have a computer or a phone, that you can change the world, right? And then we can also get more tech savvy. So we can, you know, especially now during these presidential elections, we're going to get a lot of stuff coming through our social media threads, coming through internet and things like that. How do we recognize that as propaganda? How do we recognize that as something that we should not really fully pay attention to? So the more tech savvy we are as a people, the more that we are on the front end of the development of these products, the more that it can cater towards us and get us to some of these transformational opportunities that we've been seeking since we landed here.
Okay, no, that's great. And then we have a great question from Marion. Marion says, "Ooh, this is awesome. How can I participate virtually? Can anyone just participate, or you have to be invited? How does this work?"
Yes, you can participate virtually for sure. So let's back up. So we in the world, which is the organization I work for, every year we have our gathering, right? We don't call it a conference, we call it a gathering. And our gathering this year is going to be in St. Louis because we actually have quite a few really successful projects within the St. Louis area. So we say, hey, why not only go to St. Louis because we have a lot of friends and successful projects there, because it's a city that's really decided that they're going to focus in on creating a place where, you know, people can thrive. A lot of awesome things happening in St. Louis. So we want to be a part of that. So we're actually going to be at Harris Stowe, which is a historically Black college in St. Louis, to have a small in-person. But mainly this will be a virtual opportunity. So we already have people from Thailand and folks from India and Taiwan loading on, but also, you know, great, you know, undergraduates from HBCUs and other universities throughout the country that are going to be virtual participating and having a good time. So I'm sure there'll be a link. I think, you know, I could put a link in the chat, or we can send out one later on for folks to register.
So what I can do is add it to the Facebook page later today. So Marion, if you want to join in, just look for it a bit later on our Facebook page. I will also add it to this video on YouTube, because we're broadcasting live on YouTube right now. So I'll add it to that as well. And I do see some comments coming in from YouTube. This is a new thing. We did never have that before. So this is fantastic. And you can click on it there. And I'll make sure you have it if you're interested. All right, that's a fantastic question as well. Now you've had hackathons in the past, right? So can you provide some examples of how solutions developed through the past hackathons that have directly benefited Black families and addressed like the challenges such as the access to quality education, healthcare, and transportation, those sort of things?
So this is our first hackathon.
Well, this is the first one.
Okay. This is our first hackathon. Yes, yes. Right. But I would say that the gentleman that's helping us out, the one from Google, he's part of what they call the Black Googlers. Oh. So they've done, yes, it's a network of Black folks at Google that have their own like team of folks that do these hackathons. And it's been everything from the solar stove in Kenya to different opportunities they found using the hackathon for creating better filtrated water in different parts of the world. I know WashU University in St. Louis has hackathons for their community as well. But honestly, I've not seen a hackathon that's squarely focused in on this type of social change, right, around classism and sexism and structural racism as well. So when we as an organization kind of threw that out there, we had a lot of good energy from people in tech worlds, right? For example, Dr. Joel Bradley is a engineering professor, African-American engineering professor at the University of Illinois, which is one of the top three engineering schools in the country. And when I told him about this, he was like, yeah, I've heard a lot of hackathons, but not for this. He's like, man, that's good. He was like, it really energized. It's going to energize Black folks, not just Black folks in tech, but Black folks in general, who, especially for it being a non-cold, to be able to actually create a just world from a virtual standpoint, and then use that as a prototype or a blueprint to use that to actually, you know, make that real. So this is the idea that, like I said before, like this is done, you know, when organizations are doing their research and development, when tech companies are building new products, they give people the test and then they make that real, that we can actually do this for social change as well. So that's the idea. So this is the first time we've tried it. Like I said, we've got a lot of good feedback. People are funding it at a level that I didn't, you know, was like, wow. So just the idea behind it has really got us a lot of good, like I said, a lot of good energy and good feedback. Now we have to implement it. But we do plan for this not to be the last. Like, we know this is our first time out of the gate. We're going to see what works, what won't. We're going to go back to the drawing board and try to do this maybe at least twice a year.
I think that's fantastic. Now check the link out. Shonda put up a link. I double checked it to make sure it will work. And is this the link that you're familiar with? Because if not, I can put up a different. It's winnetwork.org. So thank you, Yolanda, for that. She also put the hashtag for Black Googlers so we can find that. So I appreciate that. And then, of course, Marion said she would love to participate. Thank you so much, Marion. In what ways do you foresee the solutions generated at the hackathon that's going to be going on, or it's going on now, right? Because it's a time period, right? That we can do this. It's not like one day, right? Is that how it works?
So we started it April 1st, just to open it up, given because it's a competition.
Right.
So you have some prize money, right? We have four $1,000 prizes, depending on your skill level, where you are in your career, mm-hmm. just, you know, audience favorites, things like that. So we have to make it fair. So we opened it up April 1st, where people can go once they register, and they'll get like the instructions, right? What to download, you get to play around a little bit, and things like that. We're also having a speaker series this week. So we have both social change experts in this country, along with tech experts as well, each doing about 30 minutes a piece. So we're having that every evening this week as well for people to come and learn and listen. We're having office hours with our colleague and our consultant from Google, is doing office hours every week leading up to that 2-day event on the 20th and the 21st, both in person and virtual, where we're actually start building and for the particular competition. So yes, it started as far as a lot of the pregame things, getting people acclimated, getting people used to, like, you know, going to these platforms and using them. But yeah, game time, and where we'll start will be April 20th and the 21st.
Okay. Now, my question was, like, how do you foresee the solutions that you're going to generate from the hackathon addressing unique struggles and needs faced by Black parents and families in our society?
That's a great question. I think one of the first goals we have is to connect people, especially connecting youth, in this type of environment. I think that's first and foremost. Is that getting people used to using these platforms for this reason, and then connecting people to different resources, connecting these young folks to all the mentors that we have that's in the tech world. Like, I have a young brother in St. Louis. He's a junior at Lincoln University. He definitely wants to go into computer science. And because he's registered, he's going to be connected with, you know, people within computer science at really, really high levels that are going to be mentors to him beyond this project. So a lot of this is connecting young Black folks to opportunities. That's the first thing. Because this is a no code at this point, the idea that we're going to develop prototypes is not as apparent as, you know, other opportunities, because it's no code and you kind of need code to develop that. But what we are going to see on these platforms, what we wanted to do see is mapping what the opportunities will look like in different parts of the country, depending on where you are and what your focus will be. We don't know everyone's focus. So some people may want to say parks. Some people may want to say health centers. or grocery stores. Like, you know, if you live in a food desert and you want to see what would it look like to put a grocery store here, depending on the demographic and data information that I have. If I put a grocery store here, what can I expect the revenue would be? What can I expect the outcomes would be prior to actually doing it? So I think that's what we're looking at. We want to, you know, map out, you know, different opportunities to close gaps depending on whichever vital condition you're looking at. And then as we move forward with this hackathon and we have connections to mentors, we have people actively using it, we're probably going to have to start introducing the code so we can actually develop the product from there on. So starting at the very beginning, right? I think if we would have done strictly code, I don't think we would have had the energy or the people, right? Because I think that would have been like, I don't know how to code, I'm done. So I think we have to kind of crawl before we walk.
Well, I like that idea. Now, will this data be shared with some of these states and cities so that maybe they can actually make real change?
Yeah, that's the hope, right? I think that's going to be very interesting because I think that that's such a great question because that's one of the things I've thought about. Like, what if you went to your local city council or your state government and you produce this as a blueprint versus like something written down or just a story? Like, we love our stories, but suppose you had a prototype behind it. Like, this is how it can look, y'all. And you know, you share your screen and you show it and you visually show it. Like, oh man, I think that would change. Like, you know, I think that would get people listening because they can actually visualize and see what change would look like if it's enacted. So on these platforms, I think we get more of these, you know, I don't know how much money, you know, from a GDP standpoint, when it comes to like tech and innovation. But I know we're not in that space. And this is, like I said, this is a wide open space that we can get young brothers and sisters involved in and to use it for good and use it for social change. Like, we use it well to communicate, right? You know, Instagram and LinkedIn, all these things. We could communicate well on it. We could show our pictures, we can make videos, but how do we, like, you know, go more upstream and have these companies actually start developing products that actually change the world, to truly change the world? Because we can change the world in so many different ways, but we haven't figured out how to change the world when it comes to the growing wealth gap in African-American communities, when it comes to the fact that, you know, African-American males aren't graduating college at the same rate as our peers. Like, why aren't we developing opportunities through these platforms to change the world in that way? We can do it everywhere else. So you can't tell me you can't do it using this platform. And this is the one of the main reasons why we want to entertain this opportunity.
Well, that is awesome. I mean, we're changing the world here today. If you're listening on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, this man is here to help change the world with this hackathon. Now, you hear about it and you're like, well, what is it exactly? That should be your tagline. We are changing the world. That's fantastic. We have Kristen from Facebook. Kristen, thank you for your comment. She said this is the first time she's heard about a hackathon. It sounds really interesting. What type of results do you anticipate? Now, we talked a little bit about it, but is there anything that we're missing here that you might expect from at the end of the hackathon? What do you hope for?
Yeah, I think we want to build a team of hackers. Like, as we build that team, as we introduce this, as we get people connected to mentors, as we get people playing around as well. You know, so I believe the platform we're going to use is they're going to kill me. Either Salesforce or Zapier, right? Yeah. So just say, for instance, we use Salesforce as a platform, and we're building things on Salesforce. You know, we're going to show Salesforce this. Like, look at what we're doing on your platform. They're going to get excited because people are using it and they're using it in a different way, which means we're going to bring in one of the largest companies in the world to look at this, right? And that's what we're trying to do, whether it's Google, whether it's Zapier, whether it's Salesforce, whoever it is. Like, they're going to be, they're going to be happy that people are using it. They're using it in a different format and they're using it in this way because everyone, this is only going to be good press for them. And this is only going to want them to continue to want to develop products to actually change the world in a positive way. So building that team, both people who are hacking, but also institutions that are changing their platforms for us to be able to do this. And then we introduce code, right? I think that's the next step, to introduce code. So hopefully 6 months from now, or whatever it is, I can come back on and say, we're now going to have our code hackathon because we have these hackers who know how to code, and then we can start building those prototypes to actually implement. So doing this in phases.
Coding is the future, I tell you. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, how can the hackathon foster important conversations within families about systemic racism and activism and the collective pursuit of justice?
Yeah, I shared this story yesterday. Oh, maybe last week when I, my wife and I, we have a 9-year-old son and he's turning 10 next week. So we have to have that conversation. He's, as a Black boy, he lives in this fantasy world, right? He lives in a beautiful community here in Champaign, Illinois. He goes to school where everybody loves each other, and that's great. At some point, somebody's going to tell him he's Black. He's a Black male, whether that's police, unfortunately, or just people in the environment. And we had to have that hard conversation of the expectations, and not the expectations, or of what for him to expect and how do he prepare. And it was so sad. It was an emotional conversation for me, especially having to tell this kid who thinks everything is great, that everyone loves each other, that that's not true, that that's not the country we live in. And this is what's going to happen to you. You will get pulled over. You will be asked questions. You will be threatened. You will be, put in positions that you shouldn't be in because you're an African American. And I was saying to myself, it's like, damn it, it'll be great if he did not have to have his conversation with his son. Like, how do we then create a more just world with that conversation is no longer necessary. I was in Florida yesterday meeting with a group of Guatemalan Mayans. And we talked about resilience. And one lady said, resilience sucks. She was like, why do we have to be resilient? Why can't we just live? Like, why do
we have to be the strong ones all the time?
Why do we have to be born? We born already on defense. Like, we're born to defend. Like, we can never be on offense, right? So to answer your question, our children are going to be thrust in a world where innovation is going to be king, where they're going to have at their fingertips, they're going to be able to change the world, whether they know it or not. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. If they are prepared, if they have the mindset, if they have the skill set, if they know the directions, oh my goodness, and they already have the passion, oh my goodness, what can they do? What's imaginable? So I think your question around the conversations around with the Black family is saying, let's prepare our children for that world, right? I hate to say this, but we have a lot of, neighbors who aren't Black, Asian, white, and they have no qualms about telling their children what to focus on. And a lot of it's around tech. Like, yes, you want to be a dancer, great, but you're going to know how to code. Mm-hmm. Yes, you want to be, you want to be an athlete, great, but you're going to know how to go on a platform and build prototypes. That's just a basic skill that we need to instill in our children. And there's tons of opportunities, right? If people Google right now, free coding classes at your community college, send your children there. Send them. I think one of the issues we have is we continue to not take the opportunities that's out there, and then we fall behind. We continue to be the end user and not the developer. So hopefully this introduces something new to a community and we build upon that. And then, you and I have a conversation like this 80 years from now, and it would be like nothing, right? So I think that's the goal, the conversation around Black families and the conversations we need to be having with our children. It's like, being able, like I said, to change the world at your fingertips.
Right. And just to piggyback on that, there are Ivy League colleges that have free coding classes online right now. And you can add that to your resume. I've seen it. Right.
Exactly. So my daughter was in, she was in Girls Who Code, right? University of Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's a national group, right? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Girls That Code, and it's half filled, right? I mean, I go pick her up, and it's like 10 seats available. Shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't be the
It should
case.
not. It should not. But can you imagine? It just add that Harvard free class that you took. You don't have to say it's free on your resume on
No,
LinkedIn. You
I
took
can
this
code.
class, right?
I can code, yeah.
And now you have Harvard qualification on your website, on your resume, I should say, on your website or whatever you have. So I want to get to a few more questions because we have some good questions. Like, what is the age range of the participants? Because Kate is asking if high school students can do it.
Yeah, I think we have one or two high school students that have already registered. So yeah, we're opening up to I would say anywhere from 13 to 113. If you're 114, I'm sorry, it's not for you. But and yeah, anywhere from 13 on up is what we're seeing. We're opening up to everyone. Like I said, I still think the focus is as we start to draw down that we see this an opportunity to bring that, kind of that 13 to 30-year-olds, the ones that's already living in this space, to bring them in as an interesting way of how I can be a part of social change, using the skill sets I have and what I like doing and what's already in my hand every day. So I want to bring in that audience. But yeah, this is opened up to the masses for sure. It's a no code. I think high school students actually probably be better at this than anyone, right? My daughter's already a hacker. Like, there's no password she can't figure out. So we're constantly on defense with her.
You should be.
She figures out passwords. She does things like I get up at 3 in the morning just to beat her, just to like, you're not gonna beat me today. I'm gonna figure out how you keep downloading this app. I've done everything possible. Like, and one time I asked her, I was like, "Can you just please tell me how you doing this?"
She
At
knows you.
17.
She knows you. That's how. That's amazing. That's amazing. So,
Yeah.
so let me go to the next one because I want you to kind of sum up the practicality of this whole thing. Because how does this translate to real change? How does this whole hackathon translate to real change? And you kind of mentioned that before, but how does that work?
Yeah, I think it's I think we want more people in the movement. And the movement meaning a movement towards justice, right? I think that we need to be on the front end of it. We can't be reactionary as a people. We have to, in order to do that, we believe, in order to be like more proactive, is to go into spaces where people aren't, and especially go into a space that can generate energy, that can generate information, that can communicate on a much faster and more efficient level, to be able to use those platforms to get our message out, and then be able to organize it in a way that people are moving in direction towards actual transformation. And to get to some of these root causes of why we find ourselves in this same predicament year after year, month after month. So it's my thing is to say, how do we build an army of people who are energized, who are focused in on social change, and how do we develop a platform where they can really expand on some of their ideas? I think sometimes we get saturated in different spots. Especially in some of our communities, but this is an opportunity. Like I said, this is a platform that's wide open, that reaches a lot more people, where you can be yourself, where you can generate different ideas, where you can innovate, and there's funding behind it. There's energy behind it. So let's go in that space. I think that's the ultimate hope, right? And I mean, that's what I know we're going to, get once we continue with this hackathon idea.
Fantastic. Now we're at the end of our time. Is there anything else that you want to share that you think is really important to our listeners on all the platforms? We are on Instagram right now, we're on YouTube and Facebook. So if there's anything else that you want to say to them, please, this is your time.
Sure. I think we're in a time right now where information is king. Sometimes what we read and hear, we take as the Bible, where we're easily influenced. And like, you know, and when you're the end user, when you're not the developer of stuff, you're getting information, you're getting substance that's not going to actually change our circumstances. This is a way to go upstream, right? This is a way to get at the root cause of what's troubling us in this country and be able to change it, be able to change what people read, be able to change what how people think about certain things, be able to develop prototypes that can be used in real life to close those gaps. This is a platform to do it in. This is an opportunity to learn as well, not only for career opportunities, not only to create and find new resources to get the job done, but I think as importantly, connect with like-minded people to build an army of folks that's focused in on transformational change. You know, so let's play together, and it's fun, and it's a good time. So we're hoping to create that opportunity through this hackathon, but you know, beyond this hackathon, actually build a framework and a network of folks that's acting in this way, because we believe this is one direct way to truly see justice in this country.
Right. Well, thank you, because you're basically playing for change that will change the world.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what it's about, right? So I want to thank you, Drew, for coming on our show. It's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
You got to come back again, okay?
I will. Thank you so much for having us. I look forward to sharing some results with you.
Fantastic. Stay tuned after the show. I'll tell you about how to get the video and more, okay?
Okay.
Oh, and I want to thank all of you for participating and listening to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Media and the syndicated podcast, our live stream talk show for parents. Don't forget to follow us by going to our website at successfulblackparenting.com. It's successfulblackparenting.com. It's full of great content to help you thrive and not just survive as a parent. And until next time, I wish you all the best and much success. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to Back Talk by Successful Black Parenting Magazine. We'll see you soon.